are Locked On Spurs, your daily San Antonio Spurs podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Spurs have plenty of draft picks in the upcoming 22. And we all know everybody's looking at those first round picks. But what about that second round? We're going to be talking about that and more on this brand new episode of Locked On Spurs, everybody. Welcome back right here to Los. I am Jeff Garcia, your host, with Ken's 5 San Antonio Spurs writer for them. And we thank you for making Locked On Spurs your first listen each and every day. Once again, free and available wherever you get podcasts. Yeah, a lot of focus on the first round picks as of now. Don't know if they'll deal it, but you know, we can forget that there can be second round gems. The biggest example, why do we have to mention his name? He just say number 20, and everybody would know who that is. Manu Ginobili. There's also been recently as Trey Jones, second round pick, was a fine. We're gonna be seeing and looking at that second round pick. Spurs have 38. And see what that possibly could get San Antonio, or maybe even deal that. Also, we're going to be looking at Derek White's play for the Boston Celtics in game one of the NBA Finals. And who did Locked On Spurs select in the Locked On NBA mock draft at number 9? I know our guest Jack Thompson loves this time of the NBA season. That is anything pre-draft, draft combine. He is Jack Thompson with San Antonio Sports Star. Jack, welcome back.
What up, Jeff? Thanks for having me, man. Absolutely my favorite time of the year, no doubt.
What is it about this? Is it just kind of like, do you feel like a dad seeing the kids graduate into the NBA? Because you follow college basketball, I think, a little more closely than the NBA sometimes.
Oh, definitely more closely than the NBA. But I don't know. It really just all stems from, like, even when they're in high school, like I even follow like seniors in high school in the top 100 and where everyone's committing. And then I'm obsessed with college basketball for sure. And I follow it definitely closer than I do the NBA. I'd much rather watch a high level college basketball game than any NBA game. So yeah, this time of year, seeing all these guys, especially in this past week when it was the deadline to either commit to the draft or go back for, you know, your remaining eligibility. A lot of teams in college got a lot better because there's a lot of guys who decided that they would take their talents back. So that's always an exciting time. But we're now about 23 days or so, 24 days from the draft. It's right around the corner. I'm definitely excited to see everything that's going to happen between now and then.
Yeah, I believe June 23rd. So actually 20 more days.
20 days.
Until the NBA draft. Yeah, so it's coming here fast. Again, Jack and I, we've talked about the first round picks plenty of times, and we'll talk about it as the days lead up. But Jack's going to help us today look at that second round pick the Spurs own as of right now. And by the way, make sure to follow Jack on Twitter at Jack_Thompson33. He's also the co-host of the Saturday Morning Hangover and the Post-Up, or they're the San Antonio Sports Star. He'll tell you all about that later on the show. It's a good show, by the way. Just giving you a little tease there. You really got to tune into the Saturday Morning Hangover. So, Jack, the Spurs got that second round pick. And as mentioned earlier, you know, the Spurs have done okay with second round picks. You know, Manu, Trey Jones. Obviously there's a lot more misses than hits. But let's start off with kind of a big overall scheme before we get into some names here. Do you think the Spurs should hang on to that or kind of use that second round pick to move up in the draft if any teams are talking?
I think both ways are fine. If we move like either 20 or 25 and package this one with it, that's totally cool. If we move both 20 and 25, and you keep this one as just like, you know, another swing at the plate to see if you can hit on a player, then that works too. There's some good talent that'll be had at the top of this second round for sure. So I think either way you look at it, you can find something or do something with this pick that'll benefit the team.
Is this current draft deep enough where you will find second round gems?
Oh yeah, yeah. There will be gems in the second round for sure. Absolutely. No doubt about
you look,
that.
You look at the second round and many kind of like, you know, look down at it like, oh, second round, you know, you got picked 40th overall, you know, whatever, you know, good luck making a squad. But why does it feel like times have changed? Like now you can find gold in the second round. You can find those impact players. It feels like that's the trend. Is the talent coming out of college getting that much better each and every year?
The talent's getting better, but also the G League is what really is like for the second rounders is the hope for them, because over this past year, every team in the league had players called up from G League that got significant minutes and then could have found themselves stuck on that roster, or someone from a different team saw what they produced and took them onto their team. So it's that G League kind of that G where you can go and just focus on your craft and get better. And in the G League, that's really what is helping a lot of second rounders find spots in the NBA long term. Mm-hmm.
You hear these stories, and there'll probably be another one in just a few weeks. How did he slip so far? How did, you know, I'm making this just for an example. How did Trey Jones, you know, one of the best defensive guys in college at, was at Duke, you know, slip all the way down to the second round? Why does that happen? Why do players that are always said to be, oh, they're a late first rounder or they're a mid first rounder, what happens to their stock? Why does it drop so bad where it goes into the second round?
Players like that, specifically looking at Trey Jones, in college, he was a fantastic point guard, great defender, great team leader, but just a tad undersized and not really a great shooter. Since he's a tad undersized, that really hurts your stock and you'll watch yourself kind of plummet in the draft. But now that he can go to the G League and focus on his weaknesses and make them strengths, we've seen Trey become a much better shooter, and you know, and he's able to defend at a high level in the NBA, which some people thought he might not be able to because he's a smaller guy. But we've seen him go to the G League, kind of marinate down there, focus on his weaknesses, and now he's stuck on the roster at the end of the season. So it's really just the small weaknesses that the NBA sees as must needs in the league, such as like shooting or athleticism, height, stuff like that. That'll make you fall a little bit in the draft.
Yeah, I mean, but you mentioned Trey Jones. Look at him now. You know, he, I guess, broke out, quote unquote, in the summer league. You know, I get it. Yeah. It was a summer league, but, you know, he was really just wrecking shop out of Las Vegas last summer. And then, you know, same thing. He did spend time with the Austin Spurs. I think that was the bubble G League season, where again, he was just wrecking shop again. And now a viable backup to DeJounte Murray, you know, defensive minded guy. But again, that goes to prove the point that the Spurs have found gems. NBA teams have found gems late in the second round. But you know, it is a high pick. It was 38 or 35. What did the Spurs got? They got
The Spurs have 38.
They got number 35, I believe. I'll net the them have, something. But Jack, it's time to start looking at. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
No, we have okay.
Well,
we have 38.
Jack, it's about the time we start looking at some. Yeah, 38. So let's go ahead and start looking at some names that are on Jack Thompson's big board when it comes to the Spurs in the second round. But before we do that, I want to talk to you about Built Bar. They got a new bar, everybody. It's the granola bar. Finally, fans have been asking for this. Built delivered. Built granola bars are here. Built granola bars, come in three unbelievable flavors: chocolate peanut butter, chocolate coconut, and white chocolate berry. Try all three flavors. Get yourself the mix box. Built.com right now. You get all the flavors, you get to sample them all. There's so many different varieties, from just the basic protein bars to the puff bars, now granola bars. Those granola bars are loaded with granola, perfect combination of crunch and chewiness. And just like the bars and the puffs, these granola bars are packed with protein and covered in 100% real chocolate, 150 calories, 15 grams of protein, only 4 grams of sugar. Built granola bars will change your world. take him on a walk for lunch, throw him in your backpack, easy to take, easy to eat, perfect snack. Made with collagen protein, so it absorbs into your body more efficiently and provides tons of health benefits. Look, I've been waiting for them to hit the market. They're finally here. Go get you a box right now. Yeah, so many varieties and flavors at built.com. You got, as mentioned, the chocolate coconut, white chocolate berry, peanut butter right there. Very delicious flavored granola bars. Don't miss out. Go get them today. Go to built.com. Get the granola bars right now. Built.com, promo code LOCK15 for 15% off your order. That's promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at built.com. We are back with San Antonio Sports Stars' very own Jack Thompson, and we're discussing the second round picks or pick that the Spurs have. And in the previous segment, we talked about just the second round overall and using Trey Jones as an example. But hey, we need your help right here at the Locked On NBA Network. We put together a survey so you can learn more about you, the listeners, what you like, and what makes your favorite Locked On podcast even better. This is your opportunity to tell us what you like and don't like about a Locked On podcast. I can tell you right now, Jack, one of them, they're going to say more Jack Thompson. That's the thing. That's what they're going to tell me on podcast first. So you want to go to lockedonpodcast.com/survey right now to get started. It won't take very long, and everyone that completes a survey can qualify for a chance to win one of 10 $100 Ticketmaster gift cards. Once again, that is lockedonpodcast.com/survey. Go right now, go take it, and we thank you for your help. All right, Jack, moment here. Let's talk about some names. Who are some names on Jack Thompson's big board at that second round spot, the Spurs own?
Well, it kind of depends on how we do in the first round. If we go kind of more forward heavy and we're looking for kind of guards in the second, then there's definitely some guards I like. I really like Max Christie. He's a 6'6 shooting guard from Michigan State. He's a freshman, one and done. He had a kind of a rough season in the beginning, kind of found his way towards the end. He's got a really smooth shooting stroke that projects for him to be a pretty high-level shooter down the road as he puts some muscle on his frame. He needs to work on his decision-making and his body for sure, but there's a lot of potential upside for him. If we don't go shooting guard, I really like, and we're looking for a point guard, I really like Andrew Nembhard out of Gonzaga. 6'5 point guard, has won a ton of games at the college level. He's an elite leader on the offensive end, elite in the pick and roll, and he's starting to show a lot of progress on his shooting stroke and having great size at 6'5. I think he can definitely find his way in the NBA and to a backup role or maybe a potential starting role at some point. And then the last guard I'm kind of looking at is Peyton Watson out of UCLA. 6'8", kind of shooting guard, small forward type, kind of like a Devin Vassell. Super bouncy, a little bit raw right now. Needs to work on his jumper, but going into last season, the college season, he was a projected lottery pick that was just on a really deep team and didn't get the run that they thought he was going to get. So he plummeted on the draft boards. But Peyton Watson has extreme upside. I've seen he's put on a lot of weight recently, muscle-wise, working on his body. And if he can get everything right, he could absolutely be a starter in the NBA. So Max Christie, Andrew Nembhard, and Peyton Watson are the guards I'm looking at. Now, if we go kind of guard heavy in the first round and we need some forwards, there are four guys that I like. Jake LaRavia, 6'9 combo forward out of Wake Forest. He's a guy that can rip the ball off the rim, off a rebound on defense, dribble it up the court, and find your guy for a cut on a nice pass. He's kind of a point forward, do it all kind of guy, and he shoots the ball really well. I also like Jabari Walker, another 6'9". He's a stretch forward out of Colorado. He shoots the three ball exceptionally well, defends and rebounds at a high level. And then after that, you're kind of looking at two more traditional bigs. Christian Coloco is a 6'11 center out of Arizona. He's a big guy that can switch onto basically 1 through 5. He moves his feet exceptionally well. I would compare him to a young Clint Capella in terms of how he projects in the NBA.
Oh, nice.
Just a,
just kind of a
pick and roll, rim runner, does all the dirty work, never going to drop a play for him, but could get you, you know, 12 and 10 easily, kind of a guy like that. And then after him is a guy named John Butler. He's a 7'1 kind of stretch 4'5 out of Florida State. He's 7'1, super lanky, needs to put on muscle to fill out his body, but he has a lot of skill set for his size at 7'1. He can shoot the three ball really well, and he's got kind of a Jonathan Isaac, kind of Giannis-type game to him where he can handle the ball, make Euro steps, defend multiple positions. He'll never be as dominating as Giannis, for sure, right. But you know, Jonathan Isaac is a really good, I think, prospect for him to kind
of good comparison.
At 7'1", kind of does everything, and from Florida State, like Jonathan Isaac was. So those are kind of the guys that I'm looking for in the second round. Those seven guys.
It sounds to me that the Spurs will have some options. Obviously, you know, obviously if they
still
own the second round pick. They'll have options, and you know, they can maybe bring in a prospect ish kind of guy. You put them away in the Austin Spurs for a while. Mm-hmm. You know, let them marinate, let them cook. And I think that's the route to go, especially for that second round pick. And that's usually the path for all Spurs rookies. You know, unless your name is Tim Duncan or Kawhi, you know, that level, but. I mean, look at everybody. Yes, all star DeJounte Murray went through the Austin Spurs process, so could happen. But yeah, it sounds to me, as I mentioned, you know, the Spurs definitely have a lot of options. They can do some damage with that pick in the second round, and those are some names to look at. Now, the Locked On NBA guys crew, we got together, and we're currently doing a mock. It's kind of stalled right now because there's a lot of wheeling and dealing right now. Among the Locked On teams, Locked On Spurs did make a deal with Locked On Hornets. By the way, Jack and his co-host, James Pledger over there, the San Antonio Sports Star, they were in my war room. I was talking to them both, kind of bouncing ideas off them. So I think it's already out there. I'm pretty sure. If not, well, big whoop. You're going to find out in a few days anyway. So Locked On Spurs, Jack, with the number 9 pick, selected Jalen Duren. Your thoughts?
That's, you know, it's not a bad pick. 6'11", super bouncy, chiseled out of granite, NBA body. Projects to be, you know, a Dwight Howard-ish type guy that is already coming out of college with shooting touch that was far better than Dwight Howard's was. So, yeah, he projects long-term to be a very good player, very switchable on defense, easy pick-and-roll lob threat. Good pick, sure. Yeah. For sure. Would not be disappointed at all if the Spurs took him at 9.
Would you be disappointed if the San Antonio Spurs were to send him to Austin? Would you think that was a big no-no, or he's instantly plug and play?
That's tough because Memphis, you know, he showed a lot sometimes, and then there was some regression in his game sometimes, so he might be a kind of, you know, tweener type guy that plays a lot for both teams. You know, we might move him up and down, but I would definitely want him to be playing a lot for the Spurs, but I could certainly see him putting in a little bit of time in the G League. But then again, he might go down there, and since he's built, he's built like a freaking tank. He might already go down there and dominate, and there'd be no use for him down there. So,
yeah,
it's kind of a wait and see type thing. I could see both ways.
All right. Well, Locked On Spurs did make a deal. Well, actually, I should say that Locked On Spurs were nearly set to take the Knicks pick, but Locked On Knicks, they approached me and they were like, "Hey, you know, do you want to make a deal? We're okay, you know. We want to drop down. We're just trying to acquire, you know, like kind of youthish players that already got some experience already.
Yeah.
So they offered Lockdown Spurs the number 11 pick, and they wanted the Spurs 20, Lockdown Spurs 20, and they wanted a young guy. So I thought, okay, Josh Richardson would kind of fit the bill. You know, he's not over 30, he's 28. So they said no, but they kept saying young guy. I said, okay, well, let me Trey Jones. You know, here's number 20 and Trey Jones. Well, they wanted actually number 20 and Devin Vassell for number 11. I was like, and that's where the war room got together. In this case, it was Jack. And I told Jack, what do you think? And he's like, nah, don't do it.
Yeah.
Don't do it. You know, because you're basically just getting Devin Vassell all over again to the position. But we're not done talking about your San Antonio Spurs. When we get back, we're going to be talking about some high praise that a former Spur, Derek White, is getting right now. You know, that game one play for him against the Warriors in the NBA Finals was just amazing. But before we do that, we want to make sure you check out the Locked On NBA Big Board. Host Rafael Barlow for NBA Draft Junkies and author of the NBA Big Board newsletter is joined by Richard Stamen, Sam Ferris, and Leif Thulin, giving fans an in-depth look into the NBA mock drafts, NBA draft, player rankings, and of course, Big Boards is free and available wherever you get podcasts. We're back, and I am with Jack Thompson with San Antonio Sports Star. And in just a few seconds, he's going to tell you everything you need to know about the Saturday morning hangover that you can listen to each and every Saturday. So, Jack, wow. Derek White. Woo.
Yeah.
What did he do? Like 5 threes, 20 plus points?
5 of 8 really from steady, 3, 21 points. Yeah.
Yeah.
He killed it. He killed it.
Do you think this was lightning in the bottle? You think he'll reduplicate this? Or that was just kind of like kind of what the Spurs saw? Remember that one game he had against Denver the last time the Spurs were in the playoffs? What do you think? This will be sustained by Derek White?
I think it'll be sustained to a point. I don't know if I see him being, you know, one of the top scorers again, but I can certainly see him keeping it going from three and continue to add, you know, meaningful minutes and points, possessions to the Boston team. The thing that is helping him so much up in Boston for the Spurs, you know, he was our number two guy. Like, it was DeJounte, and then second was going to be Derek in terms of, you know, points doing anything on the team.
Yeah.
So when it comes to Boston, he's now like fourth or fifth in line. And when you're that far down on the depth chart in terms of, you know, main guys, especially when you're out there with Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum,
you
get kind of forgot about, you know? You're not really focused on nearly as heavily, and you don't have near as much pressure on you to produce. So it makes things a lot easier to produce and makes it a lot easier to do the right things and make shots and all of that. So, yeah, I can certainly see him sustaining this, you know, to a point. I don't know about, you know, another 20-point outburst, but, you know,
definitely
12 or 15, you know, that's still huge for a team off the bench. So I could definitely see D. White sustaining this level of play.
Yeah, and think about it, I nearly turned off the TV like in the third.
I was like,
oh my God, Steph's going crazy. I was going, Steph's going crazy. This is all the making of a blowout, another boring snooze fest the NBA trots out. I started watching The Boys on Amazon Prime. I said, I forget it. I'm done. And then I said, let me just peek at the score. So I peeked. I turned off that TV, ran to the living room, turned off the big screen projector that I have in my room. I was like, holy good, they came back. And then all over you kept on hearing Derek White this and Derek White that, and look what he did. And I was like, whoa. And I predicted the Celtics were gonna beat the Warriors. My prediction is in seven. I may push that to six. We see what we saw in game one. What about you?
Yeah, I've had Boston winning it all since the beginning, but I mean, I think they can certainly win in six if they keep up that level of play. I think that they just match up so well with the Warriors in terms of length and switchability and defensive prowess. So, yeah, I certainly could see them taking them out. The Warriors are going to need a lot from Thompson, Wiggins, and Poole. And last night they got really nothing from Poole. Yeah. So that really hurts them.
Yeah, Marcus Smart, after the game, spoke about Derek White. He said, quote, "Derek, he played for a great organization, Spurs. He played under a great coach, Popovich. We knew that Derek understood the game the way he plays." So a lot of high praise for Derek. And, yeah, and by the way, you've been seeing what that guy, Skip Bayless, has been saying about Derek White and Popovich, that Popovich squashed his confidence. That Popovich is the one that put him in his doghouse.
No, I don't listen to anything that comes out of Skip Bayless's mouth.
All right. And then that note, we're done talking. We want to hear from you. What do you think about the Spurs in the second round pick? Should they keep it, trade it, or maybe go after one of the guys that Jack mentioned? And also, what do you think about Derek White's play for Boston, at least in game one of the finals? Love it, hate it, or you think maybe the Spurs should never trade him to begin with and should have kept him around? We need to know. Now you can let us know by subscribing to Locked On Spurs, wherever you get your favorite podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, iTunes, now on YouTube. So check out the YouTube option. It's really fun there. And check out it all and subscribe to each and every Locked On NBA show that is out there. And once again, we thank you for making Locked On Spurs your first listen each and every day. And check out Locked On Celtics. You're cheering on the, Derek White and pretty much the Boston Spurs with Ime and Will Hardy. Go subscribe to Locked On Celtics right now. Jack, time for you to shine, man. Tell us everything we need to know about the Saturday morning hangover.
Yes, sir. Saturday morning hangover. You can find us, 9 to 11, sasportsstar.com. If you're tuning in within the city limits right now, we are 103.3, but that is quickly changing to 94.1. So keep that set on your preset for when it does change. But, Saturday morning hangover, we keep it fun. We keep it light. We're going to hit all the major sports storylines from around the week. We'll mainly be hitting, a lot of NFL, a lot of NBA, some college baseball, since they're now in the World Series. We got, we got hockey talk to get to. We break away from the sports. We are going to go into some, Stranger Things, some Obi-Wan. Some of the boys.
Nice.
We'd like to hit the pop culture as well, hit all the major storylines. And, me and Pledge, we just like to keep it fun and fresh, and we like to have fun and joke around with it. So if you're trying to keep up with major storylines but want it in a fresh, fun way, that lighthearted, two guys just chopping it up like you're drinking a couple of beers with us, then, Saturday Morning Hangover is the show for you, because it's exactly what Pledge and I do. We like to keep it in a really light format, like it's just a couple of guys chatting it up. So y'all hit us up, listen to us, sasportsstar.com, YouTube, Facebook Live, and you always check us out on the radio, 103.3 and soon to be 94.1 FM.
Good then. Big moves there. 94.1, that's a nice move there. It's a stronger signal, correct? I think that's what
definitely
turns out to. Yeah,
big signal.
You're talking about pop culture. Tell me, did you see Vader? Oh my goodness, I'm surprised Disney let that stuff happen.
That was dark,
shocking. Yeah. But you get all that and more awesome. Talking, but it was awesome. Yeah, I mean, it was absolutely awesome. You get all that pop culture, sports talk, and much, much more over at the Saturday Morning Hangover at the San Antonio Sports Star. And by the way, before we cannot end this episode of Lockdown Spurs, we're now giving a huge shout out. I don't know if you heard, Jack, but if you haven't, then I'm glad to share this with you. Congratulations to San Antonio's own Harini Logan, the 14-year-old from San Antonio, won the Scripps National Spelling Bee.
Wow.
The thing about, she's an eighth grader from San Antonio, and she won it all. She won it all. Congratulations. I mean, that's tough. That's tough. But yeah, she took home the trophy. She's coming back to San Antonio, a champion. So congratulations, Harini Logan from San Antonio, winning the Scripps National Spelling Bee. Kudos to you. But I can't even spell. I can't even spell water sometimes. I'm like, how do you spell water? Oh, yeah. So, but otherwise, congratulations to her. And again, thank you, Jack Thompson, for hopping on this episode of Locked On Spurs. So for Jack the Sith Lord Thompson, I am Jeff Garcia. We're going to put a lock on this episode of Locked On Spurs.